Welcome back to the second half of this morning's Gone Outdoors. Kyle Agree and Scott Brewer of Brewer Agree Outdoors. Here talking fishing, talking hunting, and talking just about anything you can do outdoors on KWSN Sioux Falls and the mighty 790 KFGO Fargo. We are excited to be welcoming a good friend of ours back. More than a good friend, this is our turkey hunting mentor, the guy who taught us the ropes, showed us the game, and set the example and the bar as high as it could possibly be set. Mr. Jordan Marsh, Marsh Outdoors, welcome back to Gone Outdoors.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
It is always a pleasure to talk really anything, but I mean, especially turkeys. This is your game, Jordan. Just for putting it into context for our listeners, how many states and how many birds do you typically kill in a hunting season?
Yeah, you know, the states vary from year to year. I do take records of how many we do shoot. The last two seasons, we've been at 27 birds. And the season before that, we were at 26 and at 23. So, I mean, you know, we're averaging right around that 25 birds a year.
I'll tell you what, if Scotty and I add our sum total, and you got a calculator, Scott, we might have to just do a little ciphering to figure this out. But you know, our sum total of turkeys harvested over the years is one.
I will say, I did have a really good turkey guide one year. His name was Jordan Marsh, and I did not shoot a turkey that year. The next time I went, I did not have a turkey guide, and I shot one.
It's because he taught you everything you needed to know.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did that.
Sometimes you just need to go with the basics, and sometimes it works, and sometimes I overthink things, right? So.
Well, and it's a great, Kyle made a great point that every time that you're out, whether it's turkey hunting, fishing, whatever it is, it's a learning experience. Even though it might not be successful as far as your harvest that time, you know, just the knowledge you gain each time you're out is very successful. And that first year that when we went out with you, we gained so much knowledge because, you know, all we've did is read about it and hear about it and being able to go out and sit in a blind with you and listen to you call and listen to all your theories on what they do and why they do it was unbelievably helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like you said, it's all about learning. You know, one thing I did learn, we hunted in Minnesota in an area that gets heavily pressured, and we were in, I believe, one of the later seasons. And, you know, I kind of learned from that, like, hey, if I'm going to hunt that area again, I'm going to try to apply for an earlier season. And we didn't have success, but we had a great time, and we did definitely learn some things.
No doubt about it. Jordan, you know, it's less than a month from the time that Scott and I are going to be heading back to that same land and setting up our blinds and our decoys and trying to bag some more turkeys. We've got that time, you know, from now to then. And for our listeners, there's a lot of guys and gals that are in that same scenario. What are the crucial keys to getting ready as we look at the last 3-4 weeks before season?
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing is if you're hunting public land, you want to know where you're going hunting. You go out there, you do a little bit of walking, you try and find some turkey sign, figure out where those birds are at. They're going to adjust between now and then a little bit, but at least you're in the core areas. The other thing would be is if you're going to a private landowner, make sure you go reach out to them, make sure that they are still the actual owner of that land. Things do change, you know, just making sure that you're prepared, going out there, scouting, looking for those birds and figuring out where they want to be is probably the number one thing that I can say is just knowing and being in the right area puts you above, you know, all else if you're going to be prepared in that direction.
So Jordan, we get to opening day. We've done all our scouting. We've done our landowner relationship building and maintaining all of that. We're heading out there. We've got some turkeys. We know there's turkeys on the land. We're going to go set up for opening morning. We put the blind up. What are the keys here opening morning? Is it calling? Is it decoys? Is it blind location? What's going to give us some success?
Yeah, great question. So along with your scouting, kind of bouncing back to that a little bit, the reason you're going to put a blind there or sit next to the tree that you're going to sit next to has a lot to do with your preparations of scouting. So once those birds are roosted, what is their daily habits and locations and routines. When you're earlier on in this season right now, they are going to be very routine. They're going to hit the same spots. And sometimes it's always like, hey, they always walk by this corner fence post to get to that next field, or they're walking from this woods. They always use this transition point. And you don't necessarily always have to get close to them because there's not a lot of foliage on the tree. So sometimes sneaking into those locations, it's difficult in the early season. But if you can find and intercept and get in their path, that's sometimes just as much of an advantage of knowing where those birds are roosted.
How important is scouting during the season, you know, from day to day? Let's say you're there for in Minnesota, the seasons are a week long and you're going to hunt that whole season. You know, is scouting, let's say you hunt in the morning, is scouting every evening? Is that super important?
That's what I do. I spend a lot of time in the truck with binoculars. I'm looking for birds, trying to figure out where they're going to be. And I think that is probably one of the biggest things. People think they need to spend all day in the woods, but there's a lot of times that I've just spent afternoons, evenings figuring out where these birds are later on into the season. And especially when you can start roosting these birds as the season goes on, definitely that's going to increase your odds to know where they're at.
Okay. Let's decoys and calling. Those are the two other big ones we've got on our list. We wanted to hear your expert opinion on decoys and calling. What are the ins and outs of both of those areas?
Yeah, I'm a big proponent on using decoys in a field situation. If I'm walking through the woods running and gunning, most of the time I'm going to leave the decoys at home. But if you're in an open area and you're kind of sitting still, I think decoys are a huge advantage to you. And I'm a proponent. I use Avian X. There's a lot of different brands out there, but you know, just having that confidence that those turkeys can see what you're looking at, or, you know, they're hearing you calling, they're seeing something, it gives them the confidence. You know, in the open woods, I just rely on my calls most of the time. And I think calling can be overused, and you got to make sure that you're calling, you know, using the right cadences, calling at the right time. I think the biggest mistake I see with early, you know, turkey hunters that are getting into the sport is they call way too much, and sometimes less is actually better on those birds.
How do you know, Jordan, what, you know, like how much you should call? You say less is more, and I tend to agree, and really any kind of calling, no matter what the game you're pursuing, how do you know? Is there a count? Is there a kind of a pattern you should follow?
Yeah, you know, that's a million-dollar question, to be honest. It's kind of like, which bait do you take when you go out fishing? There's no rhyme or reason all the time. However, there's rules of thumb. And if that bird is coming at you, you don't really need to call. If he's coming at you gobbling, there's really not a whole lot of reason to – he knows you're there, all right? He's coming at you. The only way that you'd want to call when he's coming at you is to redirect him maybe a little bit. Maybe he is looking. He can't find you. You know, sometimes the way that the sound bounces off hills and trees and things like that, they do need to relocate you. But I'm a loud caller. I know a lot of people are finesse, and there's times I do finesse calling, but I get loud when I try to find and locate birds, and then that's when I get finesse. So if they're coming at you, they're coming hard, just let them come. Just give them just a little bit, enough to feed them. But if they don't seem too interested, just keep their attention and try and get them to come your way.
Hey, we've got about 30 seconds left, Jordan. One more quick question for you. What about locator calls? What's your theory on that?
You know, there's times that I use it. I the natural crow is sometimes the best locator call, but it seems like owl hoots do work. But sometimes I take a goose call out there because I'm a goose hunter, and something different than everybody else is using sometimes will help locate those birds.
Jordan Marsh, Marsh Outdoors turkey hunter extraordinaire. Jordan, for our listeners, where can they find you? How can they follow you?
Yeah, I've got a website, marshoutdoors.com. Otherwise, you can always follow me, Jordan Marsh, on Facebook. And I've got an Instagram page as well.
Awesome. Folks, you want to check him out, follow him. The guy not only is full of knowledge, but he goes on some pretty awesome adventures. Jordan, thanks for taking some time with us this morning. Thanks for sharing your knowledge on turkey hunting.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show.
Folks, don't go away. We got another segment left, and it's going to be a good one. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Gone Outdoors.